have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
For the count, you feel like life has thrown you blows, and God ain't been around. But I've come to encourage you to hold your head high. Know that God is in your corner now, no more inner light. You are a winner, you just can't lose. Over and a chaos, more than a conqueror, Jesus in you. You are a winner, you are born to win. Over and a chaos, more than a conqueror.
Well, here we are again for another podcast. I want to thank you to our listeners for tuning into the Jotus Alive podcast. And I am Cynthia R. Bennett, your host. And I want you to know, just as the song that was just played, you are a winner. No matter what has come your way, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter the setbacks, the disappointments, you are a winner. I want you to open your mouth and speak that in the atmosphere, that you are a winner. You're more than a conqueror. And more than a conqueror is you didn't win when you were supposed to win. More than a conqueror is you won when you were supposed to lose. And so I want you to know that tonight that was very fitting. And but here on the Jotus Alive podcast, we talk about issues, stories, resources, events, and ways to eradicate abuse of all kinds in the community through education, edification, and encouragement. Tonight, I want to just talk about a subject, revisit what we've talked about before a couple of weeks ago. But before we get started, I want to share with you about an upcoming event, fundraiser, wellness event that we're having, and it is coming, scheduled for July the 24th, and it's called Our Dignity Drive. And in this drive, what we are doing, we're asking everybody all the way up to July the 20th, which is the deadline for your donations, whether they're monetary donations or items such as what we're asking for. We are asking for our donations to be in the form of shower shoes, hand towels, face towels, shower gels, and diapers this year. These donations, we help women and children and teens from group homes, domestic violence shelters, homeless shelters where there is domestic violence program there. We help these ladies, these females with resources, with items to help them to just get along, just to be able to deal with life, just to be able to take care of their personal needs when they go out into the community. People don't realize just the bare necessity, things of that nature. It means so much. It could go a long way. And you just don't know in the mind of a person who is going through that and who has to give up and leave and drop everything and leave everything wherever they were staying. Those items are necessary when you have to go into the community to communicate and to seek assistance and ask for help when you're going into these different offices. We want to make sure that they are presentable, and we don't want them to feel any way shame or anything about their situation or anything. And so your items helps with that. Our motto is you could lose your car, you could lose your house, you could lose your job, you could even lose your relationship or your marriage, but you do not have to lose your dignity. And so you can go to our website, www.jadasa.org, and look at the flyers, and we will be happy to meet you at our location to receive your donated items, or you can donate monetarily on the website. So I want to kind of revisit something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because yesterday was Father's Day, and actually on a live broadcast earlier, before this broadcast, we had a young man who was on the show who had lost a daughter to a drug-related incident, and this was Father's Day, and so our topic was a different kind of Father's Day. And again, what I talked about is we talked about traumatic events. We know domestic violence, and if it's dealing with, you know, drugs, or if it's dealing with abuse, if it's dealing with homicide or anything where there is a death in a life, a loss of life, or death even a relationship. I'm going to bring it up because he brought up a valid point today that I want to bring up again. Men feel they have emotions just like women have. They go through things just like women go through. You know, Father's Day was yesterday. I'm positive from his conversation that there was a void for him. This person is not going to make another age. This person is not going to be there for whatever he accomplishes in his life. And sometimes we have milestones. Sometimes we have things that we want to deal with. And we say, oh, our daughter's here. Our son is here. That child will never be there. So that is a void. That is a milestone that she will not be able to celebrate with her dad. So they feel just as much void and pain at the loss of a child or a traumatic event than females. And so we had him to talk about, you know, some of the things that he dealt with or he's dealing with. And we asked, you know, I asked, and there was a lot of women on the session, and I asked, so share with us, what can we do to help our men, our fathers, our brothers, our sons, our husbands, our uncles, the men in our lives, the men that's in our circles? What can we do when, no, they may not be an abuser, maybe they're the father of a daughter who was abused? You see, we tend to forget that people. We know statistics says majority of the abusers are men. We know there are women that abuse as well. But we think about men, what about the man who was the father of that daughter that was abused, or the father of that daughter who died at the hand of an abuser? He's a man just like the abuser. But his take on it is going to be different because he suffered a loss. This is his child. Now, whether he was in the same house with this young lady or, you know, their daughter, their, you know, kid, grandkids, or they had a relationship, they still had this relationship. They're still is going to suffer a void. So, you know, the subject, again, a different kind of Father's Day. And I asked the question, what is it that we as women, we as society, because this is something that society has imposed on men, that they should always man up, that they should always, you know, have that strength. They should always be the pillar. Yes, they do. They do. But why is it that we haven't given them that space to just lose it like we do? Why is it that if they show vulnerability or they show hurt and pain, why is it that the first thing we want to look at them like, oh, okay, they're weak, you know, they're not manning up? Why do we as society place that type of load on their shoulders? And so my question that I posed to him about, what is it that we can do? Because we know, you know, we talk about the abuser stuff, but I want to talk about these men who have daughters. What about them? That's a demographic that has kind of slipped through the cracks. And the man that the father said, you know, one of the things he said something about, they want the touch. You know, sometimes when you talk to somebody, you know, you rub, put your hand on the shoulder, or, you know, you kind of pat them on the hand, it's going to be all right. They desire that kind of interaction too, as if to make them feel like, yes, you know, we understand you, we empathize with you, you know. He said, because, like, we know men, sometimes they get prideful, and if you say, hey, let me know if there's anything you need, we automatically know they need something. Automatically, just like a woman, if they lose a child, we know they need comfort, they need food, they need somebody to talk to them, they need something, they need some kind of interaction to make them feel like they're not by themselves. Why do we say that when we know they need that? So, of course, if you ask men, most men, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, I need that because of society. But they're always or they're expected to be the provider, the protector, and the petitioner. And so if you're asking them, well, let me know if you need something, and they say, yes, I need this, it's as if they're not fulfilling their role as a provider. And that's not true. But we as society has imposed that type of weight on their shoulder. We have put that type of weight on their shoulder. Another thing he said, men looks in your eyes when they're, you know, whether it's their daughters or their wives or whatever, they look in your eyes and they need to see that glimmer of hope. They need to see that you, they need to see that admiration. Because if the admiration is not there, then you have lost them. They know there's nothing you can do. And that was really key when he said that. I said, okay, so we as women and females, when we know men and our brothers and our sons and our husbands and our uncles and our dads is going through, even when they have a moment, when they have a moment, we still need to allow them that space to be vulnerable, but yet still see strength. Samson was vulnerable with Delilah, but we still saw him as a strong man. Is that correct? Right? We still saw that. And so we need to allow them to let them know, hey, yeah, it's going to be all right. We're going to be fine. Yes. They need that space to allow that. He also said that, you know, check up on them. You know, he said he didn't realize how much he needed it until it happened. He didn't even realize he really needed it. Well, me, they would call and say, hey, I'm texting you. I'm just checking up on you. I'm just want to see how you're doing. Are you okay? You know, I just wanted to see how you're doing. He said he took his phone off, turned the volume off one day because he just wanted to, I guess, rest or whatever. And I guess some of his friends, me and friends, you know, they was calling, checking up on him because this was like 3-4 weeks out since his daughter passed. So this stuff is still fresh. And they were nervous because he wasn't answering the phone. So they, you know, all kind of thoughts go through their minds, people's minds. And when he finally answered the phone, he said, oh, I had turned my ringer off. And the comment was, man, the next time you turn your ringer off, you text me and let me know. You getting ready to turn your ringer off so I'll know. And see, that lets them know people care. People care. They do care. They are empathizing with you. They want you to know that they are there for you. Men need that. It ain't just for a woman. This is not gender-based. Pain is pain. Pain is pain. It doesn't care whether you are a man or a wife. And so I said that to, not today is Father's Day, and I do, I want to wish all of the fathers out there a happy Father's Day, and those who having a different kind of Father's Day because of a void, I just say God bless you, comfort you on Father's Day, because I don't know what situation that has happened to cause the void. All you know that there's a void, or all we may know that there's a void. Somebody's dealing with a void. And so with that, I thought about David. I'm going back to David. And when his baby died, if you all remember that David had impregnated Bathsheba. And so when the baby was sick, was born sickly, and he, you know, ultimately died, you know, the servants, they were scared to tell David that the child, you know, was dead, you know, because they said when he was alive, even though he was sickly and stuff, they couldn't talk to him. He wouldn't hear nothing they could say. He just wasn't hearing them. And so, you know, when he was sick, the child was sick, and they realized how David was acting. You couldn't tell them. He didn't want to hear because he was going through his own grief of his child. They certainly didn't want to go back and tell him that, hey, the child is dead. You know, but David suffered that. He suffered that grief of the child. You know, we know he put sackcloth and ashes on himself, and he grieved because of the death of a child. You know, but this young man that was on the show, he did say something else too. I said, wow, you know what? I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good thing. He said, a lot of times, most fathers too, well, not most, some fathers, they're grieving a different type of Father's Day from boys, and it may not even be a death of a child, a physical death. It can be a spiritual death or a relational death where they don't have any relationships with their children. I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. That everybody, you know, from whatever he's done, he talks about how he had served 25 years in prison, got out 20 years ago, you know, serving the Lord faithfully from what I, you know, serving the Lord and stuff, and been trying to, you know, reconcile with his children. Yes, he was gone for 25 years, but those, you know, he can't get that time back. But he talks about how Father's Day came yesterday. Now his baby is gone. But then the other three kids, he has a strained relationship with. So that's another type of void, another type of death because of a death of a relationship. And when he said that, I thought about David's relationship with his son, Absalom. You know, I talked about Amnon and the sister, you know, in a couple of weeks ago. But this week, you know, it's David and Absalom. They had a strained relationship. You know, Absalom's issues was, you know, he felt like David didn't chastise Amnon, or he didn't do enough, or he didn't do nothing enough to abase the situation with Tamar, and he became angry with that. And then when he killed his own brother, David was aggravated with him for killing his brother. So it was just misunderstanding. It was issues after issues, sorrows and stuff. And their relationship was strained. And so the Bible talks about how even David, you know, he longed for a relationship with Absalom. But Absalom, you know, when he came back to the city after he had been gone, after he had killed Amnon, he did come back. But what it says in the scripture, for 2 years, David didn't even talk to him. He didn't talk to him. They didn't see each other. They didn't pass each other's way. You know how we do today. When you don't want to be around people, if they come to church, come on, y'all. They come to church and they sit on the right side of the pew, you're going to the left side of the church. Or if they come through this door, you're going out the other door. Just so you won't be able to pass them to look at them or to see you. Because, you know, some people will be like, if they don't like you or they got a problem with you, they don't want to see you. They don't even want to look at you. And so they had this thing going on for a couple of years. And so Amnon became even more bitter at the situation because David wasn't there, you know. And sometimes fathers, their situations, maybe they don't make the right decision, you know, as this young man was saying, you know, whatever decisions he made when he was in the streets, you know, whatever it is, it cost him 25 years in prison. Well, whatever the decision, sometimes dads may not make the best decision that causes an issue with the children, you know. And that's what this situation was between David and Absalom, is because of some of the decisions or his lack of decisions when it came to his children. And we know that because of that, there was always a struggle. And then because of that issue and that struggle, then the rebellion came. Absalom rebelled against his dad. And sometimes children, when we don't have that relationship and we keep things going and it just fester and fester and fester, then rebellion kicks in because there's no relationship. And I remember my pastor always said years ago, rules without relationship equal rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. You cannot have rules with somebody that you don't have a relationship with. They are not going to listen to you. They're going to rebel. Now, conversely, rules with a relationship equals respect. And so David did not have that type of relationship with his son, and so the rebellion kicked in. And so we know that, you know, the things that they were going on, you know, he ended up getting half the people that was they was following after him because he was coming up to them saying, oh, I can help you. And, you know, don't you wish you have a king that was there to hear what you're saying and here to help you out? So he pretty much kind of just, you know, turned the people against David. Because in the scriptures, I believe Absalom had more men than David that was for him, you know, because they thought about that. And so, you know that Absalom did all he could to destroy him, to ruin him, to hurt him, to bring his life because he was hurting. And so, can you imagine Father's Day knowing that you are in a strained relationship with your sibling or your child, whether it's a son or a daughter? And you know that when we deal with sin, whatever the sin is, mistakes and stuff, you know, sin pays wages. Sin pays wages. It says the wages of sin is death. Payday is coming. Sin does pay wages. Your wages may be 2 weeks. It may be 2 years. It may be 20 years. But when we do things that we should not do, against God, sin pays wages. And sin also have two sons. One is death and the other is sorrow. And these two sons of sin will never be aborted. They live out their four lives. And we talk about that. Why? Because David, we know how David got Bathsheba. We all know the story. He had her husband killed because he was trying to cover up adulterous relationship where she ended up becoming pregnant. And because of that, you know, end up with what happened with the baby. And then what happened to his daughter, Tamar, with the son raping the daughter, and then that son, Amnon, getting killed. Those are deaths of a baby, death of someone's virginity, someone's future, death of Amnon, and then death of Absalom, death and sorrow, sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. And so what we want to know about this, this Father's Day, men who are going through, everybody is not having the best Father's Day. Everybody not getting the gifts and, you know, having the pictures of dad and everybody is not having that type of Father's Day. Some Father's Day for people is sorrow because of the relationship is gone or they desire a relationship. This Father's Day, some Father's Day for those are the death of a child, as the young man we talked to previous, that they would never get to see that child. That child will never see another birthday. That child will never see a holiday. That child will never see a milestone. Whatever it is that father wants, that's a different kind of Father's Day for that person. Everybody is not having that. Some fathers are having Father's Day where they're regretting. They just want the day to go by. Hurry up and just get this day over with. I just wanted to go by. Because it's taking them back to whatever happened, whatever caused the breach. But I want you to know again, today, it's about community. It's about encouraging. It's about edifying. It's about educating. And again, I will go back to the entry or the song that came in at the beginning of this broadcast. You are a winner. You are a winner. There's nothing you can do about the past, but you can do something about now and going forward. If the child or whatever is gone, you can't do about anything about that. But you can make one thing about this person. I said Now, you have an issue or you have strained relationships with your children, and then you buried a child. I said, but don't you think the void that you felt is the reason why you go out and help other kids in the community, especially high-risk kids or kids that's in gangs or kids that's, you know, that's in, you know, doing things that they shouldn't? This particular man has a nonprofit where he helped those kids. And so he's still giving back, even though maybe, no, I wasn't there to help my child, but I'm going to help somebody else's child because that time is still here. But I want you to know you are still a winner. You are a winner. I want you to always think about that, even when the negativity comes up. Even then, things come in your mind. Oh, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I wish I had did this. I want this relationship. As long as the kids are still, or whatever their relationship is, are still breathing, they're still breathing, they're still here, there's still hope. You just ask God to do what he does best. And we know that he's always reconciling. He is always the God of reconciliation. And so we're just asking you to always keep that on the forefront. We know that this may be a different kind of Father's Day for you. But we're asking you to trust God, to allow him to lead you and to repair the breach. I want you to be always remember. This is for Jadissa. We talk about issues, stories, resources, and events in the community, about the community, through the community. Remember, Jadissa, 24/7, 365 days, all day, every day. And with that being said, I want you to be safe. I want you to be well, and I want you to be whole. Good night.
Oh no, it's a little too hard. Oh no, it never is. Never too hard, never too hard. It never is, never too hard.
Stand up and be strong.